From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm your mom's favorite anchorman, Bill Curtis. And here is your host, Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much, everybody. Oh, ma'am. We got a fun show for you today. Later on, we're going to be talking to the creator of the TV show Mad Men, Matt Weiner. Now, Mad Men, of course, is really great. We've all been watching the early days of advertising for some years now. We're hoping that now Mad Men is coming to an end. For his next show, Matt Weiner does something about the early days of public radio.
Now that we've finished that report on artisanal Birkenstock growers, let's have a free granola lunch and then treat women just as we would treat one another as fellow professionals, equal in every way. It's about to get wild.
Whatever your hidden backstory, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, this is Tina King from beautiful Charleston, West Virginia.
Charleston, West Virginia. Now, I have not been to Charleston. Tell me what it is like.
It's really nice. It's a nice, safe little small city with a very decent arts and culture following.
That's not what I expected at all. And what do you do for fun?
Mostly for fun, I play Tournament Scrabble.
You play Tournament Scrabble?
That's right.
I happen to know that Tournament Scrabble is a cutthroat occupation.
It really is.
Sometimes those tiles go flying.
They actually do sometimes. People are known to throw boards every now and then.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought you said it was a safe community.
Now, let me ask you, I just want to ask you one question before we get started with you. What is the score you're most proud of?
Probably the best play I've ever had was online against against a high-level player, and I played Rejiggered for 204 points, I think.
Well done. Let me introduce you to our panel, Tina. First up, it's a comedian who'll be recording his first comedy album on May 8th and 9th at the Laugh Factory in Chicago. It's Brian Babylon.
Yay!
Next, it's a style columnist for the Washington Post, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Tina.
Finally, it's a comedian, the host of the Champs podcast, and the author of the memoir, Kasher in the Rye. It's Moshe Kasher.
Hi, Tina.
So, Tina, you'll start us off with Who's Bill This Time. Bill Curtis, of course, will perform for you 3 quotations from the week's news. He'll do that brilliantly, as is his wont.
Okay.
Your job, simply explain or identify that 2 times out of 3. You'll do that, you win our prize. That's the voice of Carl Castle on your home voicemail. You ready to go?
Yes.
Your first quote is from New York Republican Congressman Peter King.
He's a guy with a big mouth and no results. He doesn't provide leadership and has no real experience.
Mr. King, a Republican, was talking about a senator, also a Republican, who just said he's officially running for president. Who's the guy who inspires such affection?
Ted Cruz.
Yes, Ted Cruz! With his announcement this last week, Ted Cruz became the only official candidate for president in 2016, and he already is in last place. The senator chose to make his announcement at Liberty University, where he roamed and intoned in front of the students who, and this is true, had to attend his speech or pay a fine. It's mandatory to attend this speech. During the speech, they were tweeting their reactions. Like, quote, why are we clapping? I have no idea. And this is so embarrassing, unquote. It's the only kind of TED talk more insufferable than an actual TED talk.
That's right. So when he heard that that other congressman or senator hating on him,
yeah.
You know what? He's like, man, haters gonna hate. That's what
I don't think he'd ever put it that way, but that is his
attitude. But that's his new little thing, like to say little catchy phrases to get the kids caught up in his campaign.
Oh, he'll do like hip-hop phrases and
yeah,
stuff like that?
Yeah, like, hey, man, haters gonna hate.
Yep, cruising down the street, haters gonna hate. It's Cruz, baby.
Yep.
The fact of the matter, though, is that when you say, you know, all these Republicans are saying, are saying how much they don't like you. He says, that's because I don't compromise, and that's because they're creatures of Washington, and I'm a true conservative. He's only been in the Senate for about 2.5 years, and he has managed to annoy...
Wait a minute, that's it?
That's it. He was elected in 2012, right?
He's the one that shut down the government.
He did. John McCain, a fellow Republican senator, called him a wacko bird. Some people...
Did he really say wacko bird?
Yeah.
That's another hip-hop-ism. Wacko
yes,
bird cruising
you.
Down the street.
Yes.
It's me, John McCain. Bra, bra, bra.
Would
yep.
that be...
Yep. Yep.
Wait, would that be...
I would like to live in a country ruled by the Senate you are describing.
Republican rappers?
So your next quote, Tina. Tina, your next quote is from billionaire investor Warren Buffett.
I eat like a six-year-old.
Right. So Warren Buffett likes snack foods. And so, as a, of course, very wealthy, powerful investor, this week, Mr. Buffett was one of the players involved in a merger between two huge companies. What were those companies? Think snack foods. Think condiments. Think...
Heinz and
American cheese.
Kraft?
Yes, Heinz and Kraft. The two best-known names in processed food have joined together, presumably because they realized they could kill more of us if they joined forces. The new company will be called Kraft Heinz, which is also one of those complicated German words. It means the strange feeling you get when you inhale cheese whiz straight from the pressurized can.
I think the real thing that's really hot about this merger is, like, for, like, Walking Dead zombie apocalypse times, all this processed food, because if you get to that big place where all these companies came together, all the ketchup, all the canned stuff, you're winning.
Like, we are better prepared for the apocalypse, I grant you.
Yeah, you're much better for the apocalypse because you can't, you know, fresh food and all that organic stuff that you guys love is going to be worthless. Okay, all that whole food stuff.
What do you mean by you guys?
I'm saying in this NPR crowd, the whole food's going to be worthless. It's going to be those things in the cans, circus peanuts, all that kind of stuff.
But this is a company that makes stuff we know about. This is like our lives at stake. So Warren Buffett, know this. If you screw up our tater tots, we will end you.
But how do you think he has this? Does he just mention this and, like, you know what would be great? You two guys to, like, merge up. And then it just happened? Does he just talk it? Or why do people trust him so, you know, so much?
Because he's really, 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 really rich.
But so was, like, a dude from Dubai. No one trusts him.
A dude from Dubai.
Yeah, from Dubai. Yeah. Loaded.
Sure. I read that Tom Clancy novel.
He's our dude. He's our dude. He's not only our dude. He's our dude who eats macaroni and cheese out of the box.
Out of the box.
Okay, so there.
A billionaire who does
okay,
that.
Okay, so there.
Tina?
Yes.
Tina, here is your last quote.
Okay.
We are all devastated about Zayn Malik, but we must soldier on.
That was the mayor of Boston, Massachusetts, urging his citizens, and really, all of us, to stay strong after Mr. Zayn Malik did what?
I don't think I've heard this one.
Oh, I can't believe it. Do you know any, say, 16-year-old girls?
No, I sure don't.
Can you go out in the street and find one?
I hope not.
No, they're at home in mourning anyway.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible thing. I'm just going to give it to you.
Oh, wait, is he in One Direction?
Yes, he left One Direction. You see, you do know.
Yes, I did know. I just didn't want to admit it at first.
Tragedies like this bring the whole country together. We share in each other's pain. One Direction, the boy band, is losing Zayn Malik. Young people all over the world are distraught. To understand how they feel, we encourage you, our audience, to remember how you felt when Robert McNeil left PBS's NewsHour. A lot of One Direction fans are blaming this breakup on Zayn Malik's fiancée, to which I say, come on, Yoko, haven't you done enough damage? Bill, how did Tina do in our quiz?
Well, they can strike up the band in Charleston. She got them all right.
Very well done. Congratulations, Tina.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Brian, a scandal at the White House. Laura Dowling, a senior official there, was abruptly fired, then escorted to the gate by security. She held what important position?
Give me a hint.
Guess the bloom was off her rose.
Oh, she's the person who gets... She's in charge of the rose garden.
Not quite. What do you call someone who works with that all day? Arranges them.
A gardener? A pruner. A florist.
A florist,
yay!
Yes.
A
florist. White House florist.
Yes, yes.
So all of a sudden, this woman who's been at the White House for 6 years, she's just gone. Boof, out the door. You know, her feet kicking as the Secret Service carried her out. Why? Was she sharing state secrets with 1-800-Flowers? Was she fired for having close ties to the Bushes? So we don't know why, but the White House florist was suddenly escorted to the White House by the Secret Service. Maybe the whole thing was just the Secret Service, after all they've been through, trying to get their mojo back. You know? And stay out, florist! Good job, guys. We took care of her. She was a threat. Those roses had thorns. So here's the thing, though. Everybody kind of assumes that it was a clash with Mrs. Obama because it is the traditional role of the First Lady to oversee the White House decor, right?
So, and that's not very lean in for us to assume that.
Right. And here's the question. If that's the traditional role of the White House spouse, what's going to happen if Bill Clinton becomes first spouse? What's going to happen to the White House? It's like, yeah, it's all black light posters and bumper pool tables. You've seen the Lincoln bedroom, now let me show you the Lincoln water bedroom.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. We installed a Hooters in the back.
Great wings.
Peter here. So I found a solution to my wardrobe needs. I got a job in radio. Nobody ever sees me. I can wear this hazmat suit to work every day. But if you need help picking out your clothes, then consider Trunk Club, a sponsor of this podcast. It's a men's outfitting service focused on simplifying the process of clothes shopping. Every person that uses Trunk Club is matched with a personal stylist. They'll get to know his individual preferences and styles, handpick a selection of premium clothing, pack it in a trunk, thus the name Trunk Club, and ship it off for a home try-on. Users have 10 days to try on everything they get in their trunk. They decide what to keep and then send the rest back. Shipping is free both ways with no monthly obligations. And it's probably better than a pretty smelly hazmat suit. To try out Trunk Club's clothing discovery service, check out trunkclub.com/wait. And one of the best things on our show is when somebody doesn't know an answer. Let's admit it, flailing is funny, especially when Mo Rocca does it. Now, that is not true, of course, in every area, for example, when it involves your financial future. That's why our sponsor, the more than 71,000 certified financial planner professionals, want you to make sure you work only with a financial planner who's been properly vetted to uphold the highest standard in education and experience and is required to put your interests above their own. Visit letsmakeaplan.org and find a CFP pro near you. Thanks to our sponsor, and now back to the flailing.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, Moshe Kesher, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Chesney Rathbun from Idaho Falls.
Chesney? That's a great name.
Thank you. I had nothing to do with it.
I appreciate it. You carry it well. What do you do there in Idaho Falls?
I run a potato plant here.
How unusual.
Yes, I'm living the Idaho dream.
You said you run a potato plant? Do you like potatoes, or are you just sick of them? Are you a kid in the candy store, except the candy is potatoes?
You know, I grew up on a cattle ranch in Wyoming on a meat and potatoes diet, and I still love them, as long as there's a side of beef.
I understand.
This is the most masculine human being I've ever encountered.
His name is Chesney.
Chesney himself.
Yes. Well, Chesney, it's good to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction.
Okay.
Bill, what is Chesney's topic?
Swish, baby.
It's March Madness. Everybody's doing their brackets. Everybody's watching the games. But what about all that college basketball that's happening outside of the NCAA tournament? This week, we read a heartwarming story about college ball that took place far away from the bright lights of the big tournament. Each of our panelists are going to tell you such a story. Your job, guess the real one. Do that. You'll win Carl Castle's voice. You ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Let's first hear from Roxanne Roberts.
Like many young men, one of the star players on Canada's Medicine Hat college basketball team wanted his name emblazed across his jersey. A simple enough request, unless your name happens to be Guilherme Fouqui. The problem for the Brazilian player is that the spelling of his surname starts with an F, ends with a K, is identical to another less genteel term. His ancestors are from Germany, where the word translates to fox. Quote, "It's my name," Fouqui told the CBC. "I'm proud of it." Since he helped take his team to the Canadian Collegiate Athletic Association Championship, there's been a lot of questions. Quote, "I can't tell you how many times I have to confirm the spelling and pronunciation," Coach Craig Price told the Washington Post. "People think it's a typo." But no, it's plastered on his jersey, proving that his team does, in fact, give a Fouqui.
A player named Fouqui gets, finally, the right to have his name on his jersey, despite the fact that it spells a rather rude word. Your next story of a new basketball hero comes from Brian Babylon.
Molly Adams always dreamed of taking her college basketball team to glory. The trouble is, she's 5'3" and not actually on the team. But that did not stop her from becoming the team's equipment manager. And this year, her beloved North Iowa State Guinea Hens made the NIT tournament. Early in their first round game against North Dakota Weasels, one of the basketball buckets suddenly collapsed, and Adams knew it was her time to shine. Before anyone offered another solution, she volunteered to stand in as the backboard, hold her arms out in a circle just like a basket. There were a few close calls. A North Dakota player got to shoot a free throw after the human basket sneezed in his face after a dunk. And some people found Adam screaming, "No bank shots, no bank shots," distracting. In the end, North Iowa State Guinea Hens moved on to the next round. But even the players from North Dakota were happy. Their star forward, Buckley Jones, said, quote, "I've been playing basketball my whole life, and this is the first time I've slam dunked and the rim gave me a high five."
An equipment manager becomes the star of a game by taking the place of the actual basket. Your last story of a college great that won't make ESPN's top 10 comes from Moshe Kasher.
The Yakima Valley Community College basketball team, the Yaks, have filed an official complaint to the Washington State College Athletics Ethics Board after their recent victory was declared invalid. After their only basketball popped during a recent exhibition game against their nearest rivals, the Southeastern Washington Technical College Timberwolves, a very traditional solution was offered. The Yakima team's coach, Ray Funk, brought a frozen salmon onto the court that he had on ice in a cooler in his trunk and suggested the gameplay continue using the frozen fish as the ball. It's very similar to an ancient game played by the Northwestern tribes throughout history, where teams of warriors would show their speed and prowess by running frozen meats of various kinds, elk, deer, and especially salmon, into a goal. I thought it was the best choice available given the circumstances and a chance for the Timberwolves to learn more about the Yakima tradition, said the coach. But some on the rival team did not agree. Sean Talper, the power forward of the Timberwolves, said, "Yeah, of course we lost. We have no experience playing with frozen meat. Have you ever tried dribbling a fish? It hardly bounces at all, and I can still smell salmon on my fingers."
All right, so here are your stories. One of these things really happened in college basketball recently. Was it, from Roxanne Roberts, how a player with a very rude last name, at least as it is pronounced in English, got that name, pronounced Fouquet, finally printed on his jersey? That was in Canada. From Brian Babylon, how an equipment manager for the Guinea Hens finally got into the game as the hoop. Or from Moshe Kasher, how in Yakima, Washington, without a ball to play with, they tried to play the game with a frozen salmon. Which of these is the real story of news made away from the tournament in college basketball?
You know, it seems crazy that the most plausible story is a Brazilian playing at Medicine Hat College there in Canada.
That's right.
But I think we'll go with that one.
You're going to go with that one. That's Roxanne's story of the Brazilian player with the last name Fouquet. All right, well, to bring you the correct answer, we spoke to someone familiar with the true story.
Finally, this guy is allowed to use his real last name, which is Fouquet. That's how it's pronounced, Fouquet.
Fouquet. Fouquet. Not spelled that way, but pronounced that way. Congratulations. You won. You're the points for Roxanne, which she loves.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank
but even better, next time you're manning the potato mashers in your factory, Carl Castle will be answering your phone for you. Congratulations.
Beautiful. Have a wonderful day, guys.
Thank you so much. Thanks for playing.
All right, take care.
And now the game we call Not My Job, where we have somebody call in to do something they're not very good at. We only bring this up once they've already agreed to it. So does anybody remember the days when people on TV had to be nice and honest, the kind of people you could root for? Well, after 7 seasons of the groundbreaking TV drama Mad Men, neither do we. Matt Weiner, the show's creator and showrunner, is about to launch the final season of the show. Matt Weiner, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So first I got to check in. You know, you're about to premiere, I think it's April 5th, the final, what we call the seventh and a half, but certainly the final season of Mad Men, right?
Yes.
Are you feeling melancholy?
No, but I hope the audience does.
Yeah. Some of the appeal of the show when it first began, I remember everybody talking about, look at these crazy people. They're pregnant and smoking, and their kids are playing with dry cleaner bags, and they don't know anything. It's just, I mean, there was a certain kind of like anthropological curiosity to it.
But it was the good old days a little bit, though, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know if it's the good old days, but there, you know, there was a whole generation of people brought up in that environment that did okay.
Yeah, you and I are exactly the same age. And did your parents ever say to you what my parents have often said to me? Well, we drove you around all the time without a car seat, and you're fine. I don't understand what the big deal is.
Although there were moments of honesty. You know, my father's a physician, and my mother said one day, you know, I smoked all through my pregnancy with you. We didn't know it was bad. And my father said, that's not true.
I think you know why people liked him, the people in Mad Men, because everyone is dressed so nicely. Did you guys like get in DeLorean and go back in time and actually get those clothes, or how do you guys have them so sharp?
Some of them are. We went back in time and got them. Yes, but some of them no. We rented some of them, and some of them are made. And I have this incredible costume designer, Janie Bryan, who found the right things. But I will say, not everybody is dressed great. You know, Vincent Kartheiser, who plays Pete, has allowed me to gradually make his hairline receding, to bring in a comb over, to make him look fatter and cruddier every single season. And he's a young, handsome, like movie star looking guy, but they like it because they feel like it's part of the character. This whole thing runs on conflict, and super confident people with no problems and great marriages and great parenting are not good entertainment.
And did anybody ever say to you, how are we supposed to care about these people when they're cheating and lying and doing all these manipulative things?
No, because I was lucky enough that in between when I wrote the pilot and when AMC was looking for a project, there was something called The Sopranos on.
Heard of it!
And that was a multi-billion dollar industry that had resonated in the culture beyond many, it's higher than expectations for anybody for their art form.
Right. Just to give you credit where credit is due,
yeah.
You ended up, I think, in the last 4 seasons of The Sopranos, one of the producers, writers, and
I ended up as a writer on it, yes. Because
yeah.
And the Mad Men script got me my job.
Well, I have to ask, I mean, because let's face it, I mean, compared to the people in Mad Men, The Sopranos were like a happy-go-lucky crew of small businessmen. You know, they were awesome.
it's a lot worse when you get fired on The Sopranos, though, because you're in a trunk.
That's true. Oh, I wanted to ask you about that because, of course, on The Sopranos, the stories were that the actors were terrified that they'd go in on the, you know, as they're doing an episode and that they'd find out that they were getting killed that week. It happened a lot on The Sopranos.
There was some anxiety about that. And actually, we had a law enforcement consultant from the district attorney's, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and he said at one point his advice to us was, you know, after living, working on organized crime all this time, his advice was never get in the trunk.
I mean, if someone says, please, Mr. Weiner, I'd like you to ride in the trunk, please.
If they say they're going to let you out or whatever, you're never going to get out of the trunk. Don't get in the trunk.
Right.
And then you are there as a writer telling an actor to get in the trunk, and they know this is basically their last scene on the show, and real life and career sort of intersect with each other.
How do you do it? How do you go up to a person who you as the writer, you have absolute control over the fate of their character and a tremendous amount of influence in their career, and you have to let them know they're going to bite it?
Honestly, it's a little bit like The Sopranos. I'd take them out, I'd bring them to my office and pour them a drink and say, I have some good news and some bad news.
I would just give them the script and say, here you go, read this, love you.
Matt, before we move over to the game, do you have any idea what you're going to do next?
No, I'm working on a couple of things. I'm enjoying the experience of not working 24 hours a day on the show while the show's on the air. This is new for me.
Wow.
I'm reading and watching a lot of movies and like going on walks and enjoying the sunshine, and I'm a huge pain in the butt to my family.
I imagine. Now you're around all the time. Do you feel pressure to do some sort of...
My major goal is to take my bathrobe off before the kids get home from school.
It's a lifestyle. Well, Matt Weiner, we are delighted to talk to you, and we have invited you here today to play a game we're calling...
Glad Men.
All right. So you know Mad Men... The advertising executives with all their problems. What do you know about glad men, the people who try to help Americans cheer up, make friends, be happy? We're going to ask you three questions about these glad men. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Bill, who is Matt Weiner playing for?
Sarah Rarden of Brainerd, Minnesota.
All right. You ready to do this, Matt?
I think so.
All right. If you want to, you can have a scotch and stare off into the distance for a while.
I'm totally prepared to do that.
All right. Dale Carnegie, I'm sure you know, he became famous for his books like How to Win Friends and Influence People. But before he got into the self-help business, he was a successful businessman. In fact, in business, he had what distinction? A, he created a brilliant ad campaign, as it happens, for horse-drawn carriages called Why the Automobile is Doomed. B, he sold more lard in his region than anybody else in North America, or C, he created Opie-Cola, a competitor to Coca-Cola that included opium.
I'm gonna say lard.
You're right, it was lard. He worked for the Armour Company when he was a young man, you know, Armour meat products, and he sold more lard and other pork byproducts in Nebraska than anybody else did anywhere else in the country. Well, moving on, here we go, that was very good. The king of the glad men, in our view, is motivational speaker Tony Robbins. Even he has faced controversy as when which of these happened. A, in 2013, he lobbied against legalizing recreational marijuana in Colorado because, quote, it makes the motivation business pretty much impossible. B, at a 2012 Unleash the Power Within seminar, 22 people burned their feet after walking across hot coals at his instruction. Or C, his 2009 motivational seminar for cats failed to motivate a single cat.
I have to say B again.
You're right. It was the hot coals. As you know, Tony Robbins out there convinces people to do the impossible, including walking across hot coals without getting hurt. In this case, they got hurt. He blamed them. He said they didn't do it fast enough. All right, that's very good. Let's go for perfect. Last.
I don't know how hard it is to walk really fast on hot coals.
Yeah, you'd think that that's something you'd be incentivized to go as quickly as possible. You know what happened? I'm sure this is what happened. They got halfway across, they pulled out their phone, they started looking at Twitter. The next thing you know, oh, my feet are on fire. All right. Last question. One of the most popular happiness coaches today is a guy named Sean Acor. He is promoted by Oprah Winfrey, who really sort of launched his career. But that career almost ended before it began when what happened? A, when he met Oprah, he mistook her for her friend Gail King. B, when he met Oprah, he asked her when she was due. Or C, when he met Oprah, he tried to hug her when she was offering a high five.
Oh, these are all so horrible.
They're bad.
True.
They scare us all.
True. I'm going to go with the mistaken. I'm going to go with A.
I don't know if Oprah would mind that. It did not happen. What happened was he walked up to her, and she raised her hands, and he thought she was going to hug him. So he sort of tried to hug her, realized it was actually a double high five. So he ended up kind of grabbing her hands awkwardly in midair.
Oh,
and he
my
says they
God.
Stood there for a while, and he felt terrible. But it all worked out, and things have gone on for him pretty well. Bill, how did Matt Weiner do in our quiz?
Matt, by our rules, you're a winner. 2 out of 3.
All right.
Well done. Congratulations, Matt. Matt Weiner is, of course, the creator of AMC's epical show, Mad Men. The final episodes begin April 5th on AMC. Matt Weiner, thank you for that television show. And thank you so much
thank
for joining
you so
us.
Much, Peter.
Take care, Matt.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Peter here. I like to cook. I cook a lot. I don't do it well. If you're like me, here's a potential solution. Blue Apron. It's a new service that delivers all the ingredients you need to make incredible meals at home. Ingredients are perfectly portioned and they come with an easy-to-follow recipe card. You can create a delicious meal in 35 minutes or less. Recipes include Thai chicken meatballs with red coconut curry and bok choy. Macadamia-crusted cod with black rice and golden beet salad. That's really impressive. I basically make ramen with breakfast cereal on top. It's crunchy. But no, go with Blue Apron. Discover a better way to cook. Visit blueapron.com/NPR to get your first 2 meals free. And support for this episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is supported by The Tie Bar, an online leader in men's fashion accessories and a resource for high-quality yet affordable ties for work or for play. Those of you who wear ties to play. Also, check out their large selection of belts, tie bars, socks, and more. And if nuptials are in your future, the Tie Bar Wedding Shop can help make at least one decision easier. Get started at thetiebar.com and use promo code WAIT for free shipping on orders of $25 or more before April 5th. The Tie Bar, wear your good tie every day.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Moshe Kasher, Roxanne Roberts, and Brian Babylon. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Just a minute. Bill is selected as Rhyme Magazine's Person of the Year. It's the Listener to Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, ever since Mitt Romney said he wasn't going to run for president again, we wondered what he was going to do with himself. Well, now we know. For his first big public event since then, he's going to try something different. What?
Boxing.
Right! There you are.
Okay.
You know against whom?
I want to say it's like Evander Holyfield.
It is, in fact, Evander Holyfield.
Okay.
Very good.
All right.
He is going to do a charity boxing match against Evander Holyfield. Mitt Romney, boxer. It's the Thrilla in Vanilla.
Wow. He's really going to fight Evander Holyfield?
Yeah, it's. I mean, why would he do this? Well, if Mitt Romney's presidential campaigns have taught us anything, it's that he loves losing at things.
Especially to Black America.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the reason it's going on is Mitt Romney has gotten involved with his charity that fights blindness around the world. That's great. Evander Holyfield is doing it because what would you do if someone offered you the chance to punch Mitt Romney as much as you like?
Wait a minute. Mitt Romney's not punchable. I mean, you don't want to punch Mitt Romney.
No, you want to rob him, take all that money, and
yeah.
take it for yourself.
Isn't it a little weird, though, when you say to yourself, what can I do to do good in the world? Let me think. Jimmy Carter... went to Africa, got rid of guinea worm. Bill,
I'm just going to run from a black man in the ring. That sounds insane.
But
I want to see it. I'm sorry. I still want to see it.
Well, I mean, he doesn't want to just do good. He wants people to see him doing good.
And they will see him without a shirt on, because he said he will not wear
honestly,
a shirt.
That's really what I want to see.
Really? But... Brian, a series of photos released this week have many in England speculating that a member of the British Armed Services did what while standing near the Duchess of Cambridge, Ms. Kate Middleton?
Did he give her the rabbit ears?
No.
Did he?
We are gathering evidence. The evidence for this is not so much anything but Kate Middleton's facial expression.
He gave her a little pinch?
No.
Can I steal from Brian?
Go ahead. Yeah.
He farted.
That's what they think.
Yes.
Yeah. So in the photos, Kate and William, Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, are posing with soldiers in formal dress at a St. Patrick's Day event. And in several of the photos, the Duchess appears to be holding her nose and trying not to laugh. Of course, this is a huge breach of decorum in Great Britain. When somebody farts, you're supposed to hold your pinky in the air.
How do you do a fart investigation, though? What do you?
If you're the British tabloids, you have nothing better to do.
Is it like DNA?
Yeah. Or so,
that's what the next season of The Jinx is about.
Exactly right.
These are all the guys. Their job is to stand there stone-faced anyway, right?
Oh, these are the muffin-head guys?
Honestly, though, to their credit, they are called beef eaters. What else are they supposed to do
before? That's true. Brian, organizers of a youth conference in England want to make sure everyone has a good time. So according to the Daily Mail, they're asking participants not to do what?
I would say take... picture?
No. I'll give you a hint. The last thing they want them to do is stand up and do this. That's even more threatening.
What?
What do people... at the end of presentations, what do people sometimes stand up
and... stand up and clap.
Right. So they don't want them to?
Clap?
Yes! They don't want them to clap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of clapping, which can be anxiety-causing, attendees at the National Union of Students Conference are being told that they should express their enthusiasm for the speakers with jazz hands. Put up your hands, wave them around, wiggle your fingers. That'll show the speaker you're happy. They say clapping can cause anxiety for reasons that might be related to noise sensitivity and or memories of gonorrhea. So.
A lot of kids have gonorrhea.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently many critics say this is, sensitivity, trigger warnings gone too far. But because criticism can cause anxiety for a lot of people, critics have been asked to express those feelings by simply standing up and doing the robot.
But this, jazz hands, like a side of the road attraction, like, hey, come buy my spare tires, that thing.
No. It's jazz hands.
Please don't do that. I'm super triggered by jazz hands.
I know.
Yeah. I had a terrible experience.
Yes.
Seeing a Bob Fosse film once, and I just can't deal.
Honestly, if I did a comedy show and I was like, "Thank you, good night," and people start doing jazz hands, I would stop smoking weed.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first, it's the game where you have to listen for that rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can always click the Contact Us link on our website. That's waitwait.npr.org. You can also find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our first ever show at Wolf Trap in Virginia. That's July 23rd. Also, be sure to check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian reveal the secret to becoming half man, half cheetah. Hi, everyone. Wait, don't tell me.
Hi, Peter. This is Jonathan Cox calling from Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Now, what are you doing in Fayetteville?
I am taking a break from grad school.
I see. What are you studying in grad school?
I just got my master's in history of art and archaeology. I focus on Roman architecture.
Big money.
Oh, yeah. Well, welcome to the show, Jonathan. Bill Curtis is now going to perform for you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and the limericks will be a winner, of course. Here, sir, is your first limerick.
My weight's up and down like a seesaw. I eat more whole grains like my meemaw. An Indian grain has an ancient health gain. My life is prolonged by some...
Okay, yeah, you're going to laugh at me because I had quinoa for dinner.
Oh, yes! I knew it! Well, good news for you, then. Harvard researchers have found that eating one bowl of quinoa a day increases your lifespan by 17%. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how can something that tastes like boiled packing peanuts be so good for you? Well, it just has magic. You live an extra 5 years, but ask yourself, is life eating a bowl of quinoa a day really a life worth living? All right, here, Jonathan, is your next limerick.
With women, I'm not a chart topper. I seem dainty and meek and a flopper. I'll be more of a chief if I smell like cooked beef with BK's new perfume of a...
Whopper?
Yes,
Whopper
indeed, Jonathan. Very well done. Burger King Japan is releasing a new fragrance just in time for spring, Whopper Cologne. No more will you have to rub a burger on your pulse points. It's like those Axe body spray commercials. Women will chase you down the street if you wear this stuff. But in your case, they'll find you and turn away in disappointment when they realize you do not come with fries. Here is your last limerick.
King Midas's throne's hardly cold, so I'm prospecting here, truth be told. The sewer, please plug it. There might be a nugget. I'm panning this toilet for...
gold.
Yes, gold. Indeed, gold. According to the U.S. Geological Society, Americans are flushing millions of dollars of gold down our toilets every year. There are apparently tiny flecks of gold in everything. Shampoo, detergents, that necklace you ate when you got carried away because the guy wearing it smelled like a Whopper. Experts are working on a plan to recover the gold from treated sewage, and you know what that means. If you see a job listing for a modern prospector, do not apply. Bill, how did Jonathan do in our quiz?
3-0, 3-0, Fayetteville.
Very well done, Jonathan. Congratulations. And good luck to you. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Moshe has 2. Roxanne, let's go with Brian's 3. And Roxanne has the lead with 4.
All right, then. Moshe, you are in third place, so you'll be up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. A National Guardsman and his cousin were arrested Thursday for attempting to join blank.
ISIS.
Right. On Tuesday, President Obama agreed to slow the troop withdrawal from blank.
Afghanistan.
Right. This week, a judge denied bail to real estate heir and documentary subject blank, calling him a flight risk.
My uncle, Robert Durst.
Oh, my gosh. Despite the fact that we have the right to bear arms, an Oregon man was cited this week for carrying blank.
An AK-47.
No.
A gun.
No.
A shotgun.
No.
A taser.
This doesn't work that way. He was actually cited for carrying bear arms. Like bear claws, actual bear claws. On Thursday, the first test of a blank vaccine was administered in Guinea.
Ebola.
Right. Following a violent incident with a producer, the BBC fired Jeremy Clarkson, host of the popular car show Blank.
Car Talk.
No. This one's called Top Gear. Top Gear. This week, the NHL team, the Ottawa Senators, thanked fans for their support before begging them, please, to stop blanking.
Throwing things on the ice?
Right, but what?
Ooh, Canadians.
No. Hamburgers.
Hot dogs. Oh,
so you were so close. Hamburgers. Many fans of the Ottawa Senators attribute the team's recent success to goalie Andrew the Hamburglar Hammond, and they've decided to express their gratitude by throwing hamburgers at him during games. It's become so ubiquitous and disgusting that the Senators had to produce a video asking fans to stop, although they do admit it's better than last year when their goalie was Charles Window Unit Air Conditioner Pearson.
How do you Zamboni that?
Bill, how did Moshe do in our quiz?
Moshe got 4 right, 8 more points, and with 10 points, you now have the lead, Moshe.
All right.
It's going to stay that way, I guarantee it.
Guarantee it. Ryan, you are up next, fill in the blank. Thousands in England gathered to watch the funeral procession of blank who died in 1495.
Oh, that guy?
That guy.
Shakespeare?
No. Shakespeare wrote about him, though, Richard III. Officials announced Thursday that blank would visit the White House in September.
This is horrible. Beyonce?
No. Almost as good, the Pope. More than 100 firefighters were unable to save a blank from burning down in Chicago this week.
Church?
No, a fire extinguisher factory. The late basketball coach Dean Smith willed $200 to all of his former varsity players so they could blank.
Go to dinner.
Yes. PBS announced Thursday that the next season of their hit show Blank would be its last.
Down 10, Abby.
Yes. Iowa State Senator Ross Paustian caused a stir this week when he was caught blanking during a floor debate.
Applying mascara.
No, he was caught reading a book called Sex After 60. There was debate and collective bargaining for teachers, and there sits Mr. Paustian holding up this book. He's ignoring them and reading the book about sex after 60. It proves he either wasn't paying attention or that Iowa teachers are asking for more than better overtime pay. Bill, how did Brian do in our quiz?
Brian got 2 right. 4 more points. 7 points in total, but Moshe still has the lead.
I told you.
I know. How many does Roxanne need to win?
3 to tie, 4 to win.
All right, here we go, Roxanne. For the game on Tuesday, officials in Israel denied allegations that they spied on meetings between the U.S. and blank.
Russia.
No, Iran.
Oh,
this
that's
week,
right.
Saudi Arabia ordered airstrikes against the rebels who had taken control of key cities in blank.
Yemen.
Right. On Thursday, legislators in Indiana came under fire for approving a religious liberties bill that critics say could lead to discrimination against blank.
Same-sex couples.
Yeah. Tens of thousands were left without power after severe storms tore through blank.
Oklahoma.
Right. Police in Maine searching a house for a fugitive were able to find him after he blanked.
It's not the guy that left his credit card.
No, this is the guy that tweeted that he was hiding in the cabinet.
Oh, okay.
Scientists announced this week that they had successfully inserted blank genes into elephant cells.
Woolly mammoth.
Yes. A new report revealed that representatives from tech giant blank have visited the White House once a week since President Obama took office.
I can't decide if it's Apple or Google.
You have to say one, Roxanne.
Google.
Yes.
Okay.
A Canadian man set the bar high for people on first dates when he blanked on his first date.
Got married.
No, when he saved a man's life by pulling him from a burning car. His name is Tristan Gavreau, and he and his date were on their way to dinner when they saw a car smashed into the side of a building with smoke and flames billowing from it. Immediately, he ran over, pulled the driver to safety. He admits it was pretty heroic, and no, the victim was not his best buddy, Jared, the part-time stuntman. Bill, did Roxanne do well enough to win?
She did very well. 5 right, 10 more points, 14. That means she's the champ this week.
Yes. In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict what will be the first product from the newly merged Heinz Kraft Company. You try to say it without a German accent. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Wix.com, giving business owners the ability to create their own website. With the drag-and-drop builder, Wix.com is used by 50 million people. Learn more at Wix.com. Carbonite, providing secure backup and recovery for businesses and homes. Since 2005, Carbonite has backed up more than 500 billion files, from email servers to family photos. Learn more at Carbonite.com. Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees to choose from, offered 100% online, with 6 start dates a year. Learn more at online.asu.edu. And Lumber Liquidators, with a floor finder app to help find sustainable harvested flooring, including exotic and domestic hardwood, bamboo, and cork. More information is available at lumberliquidators.com or 1-800-HARDWOOD. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Jeanette Harris, Food Courts. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Les Dolarchik at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Waltrover and Miles Dernboss. Special thanks this week to Opus Moreski, and technical direction is from Lorna White and Gary Yack. Our CFO is Ann Niette. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse, and our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillog. The executive producer, though, of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the big guy, the boss, the Don Draper of our show, is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the first Heinz Kraft product? Moshe Kasher.
Well, the company is now so German that the new Kraft single is an unmarried German man in fetish gear covered in cheese slices and slathered in tomato ketchup.
Woo! Roxanne Roberts.
The Kraft 57 cookbook. five dozen ways to prepare processed cheese product that white people like.
And Brian Babylon.
All right. They will finally take the step and remix mac and cheese and swap out the cheese with caramel. So it'll be macaroni and caramel in a box, and it is zombie apocalypse approved.
And if Kraft Heinz creates any of those things, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks, Arson and Moshe Kasher, Roxanne Roberts, Brian Babylon. Thanks to all of you wonderful people for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.